This is not a... We're not in a series, right? But there's a thread that runs through all these things, and it's a... It is an ability to build upon. And what you learn and you build upon, you build upon. So we learn that Jesus loves children, and children love Jesus. Only later on, when they kind of taught other things, do they begin to get away a lot often. And that Christ, in His love, set families forth to be that which loves and cares for and gives security to those children. And that as the church, we are the family of God. And in that, we are children of God, and God loves His children. Now, this is not along that lines, but you can understand how important these are going to be together as we get into this. We're talking about enabled by spiritual gifts. The church functions as a family. And this family of God is extremely important to Christ. Therefore, He cares for the family, and one of the ways that He does that is through spiritual gifts. And I don't know if we know a lot about those. They're a little bit hard to understand if you get right down to it. So we're going to try to go through some of these over the next couple, 3 weeks and see what we can learn about these things. You know, at salvation, we receive salvation. Our condemnation is taken away. We are given, if you would, a place in the kingdom. And all that's true, yet there is a miraculous thing that transpires within each individual when the Holy Spirit is given. Not only is the Holy Spirit given, but you specifically are given spiritual gifts with which you then minister to the body of believers that you are in. This is a gift from our Savior through the Holy Spirit that we receive to be a well-functioning part of the body. We're going to talk about these things in a moment. If you have your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you be ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is to every man to profit withal. As you read this, you begin to understand that Paul is talking to the Corinthians, and he's encouraging them in the gifts that they should be using to edify, lift up, and build the church. And he wants them to understand these truths about these spiritual gifts. So the first thing that we talk about this morning is, what are spiritual gifts? Where do they originate from, and how are we supposed to use them, and all those things? The first thing we look at is, what are they? The Greek word for this spiritual gift generally is called charismata. And that is a bringing together of a couple of words, charis, which is grace, right? We're given these gifts, it's grace. And then pneumaticos, which are basically spiritual things. So these are spiritual things given as a gift for us to be of benefit to the body of Christ. And that's what we're talking about today as we go through this. One guy wrote that a spiritual gift is a divine endowment of a special ability for service upon a member of the gift as a divine endowment for the body of Christ. And that's what we're talking about today. You're given, in particular, something to use as you work in the body of Christ. Some receive more than one, others not, right? Maybe one or two. Some others a little more. But along with more comes what? More accountability. The more you have, the more is going to be asked of you. And that's that theory that we're talking about. But I want you to look at Romans chapter 12 real quick. These abilities given by Christ for a purpose. We lay these out here in chapter 12, beginning in verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Oh, I could do a better job than they're doing. I could do a better job than he's doing. I could do a better job than she's doing. Yes, you could, but you can't do all of them. We got to have everybody, okay? And so that's what he's talking about there. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace, what we're talking about, what God gives you, that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of the gift given to us, of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. So all these, this is kind of one of those lists of the gifts, if you will. They're found in several other places. You can see these gifts found in 1 Corinthians. There's some in Ephesians. I want to read just some of the gifts, and we won't get into these until a little later, but I want you to hear what we're talking about today. Now, there are those gifts that were given during Christ's ministry and during the apostleship of the apostles for bringing about truth before we had the written word. And we won't get into this today, but we believe these gifts have ceased. We'll talk about the gift of being an apostle, the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation, the gift of miracles, the gift of healing. Now, why do we say that? Well, simple reason being, those were to establish the gospel. Those were to authenticate God's word. Now that God's word is complete and we have it in full, there's not a need for authentication. So that's the short part of that. We'll get into some of those later. Other gifts, known as sometimes enabling gifts, are those of faith. Our faith enables us to be able to conquer and do things that we would not be able to do without it. Discernment. You know, some of us can just blunder into things and we just don't see it, right? My wife is the best at that ever, right? Don't do that. Why not? Don't you sow this? That person don't like that? Well, I didn't know. I mean, okay. Wisdom. As I look at these, I missed a lot of these gifts. Wisdom, knowledge. Then you have these team gifts that you come apart and you all work together. These are more team gifts, servant gifts, if you will. They're evangelism, prophecy, teaching, exhortation, pastoring, teaching, mercy, serving, giving, administration. All of these are found in lists that you read in different places of the Bible. And there are probably more gifts than this. God gives people gifts for what he knows they're going to need at a particular point in time for his work to be accomplished. That's what he does. So that's just a quick list. I wanted you to kind of be aware of what that sounded like as we went through this. So where do they come from? We talked about they come from the Holy Spirit. It's been a favorite saying around this church for many years. It stems from, I'm sure, preaching and teaching, and a lot of people hear this all over, but for us it came kind of from Brother and Ms. Anderson, right? And it goes much like, whom the Lord calls, He also qualifies. Well, by them, Brother and Ms. Aaron used to tell us that all the time. And you say, oh, well, I want to tell you, there is more truth in that than you can know. For one of the most well-known biblical characters ever said, Lord, I can't do that. He said, Moses, I want you to go down to Egypt, and I want you to tell them to let my people go. Oh, Lord, I'm slow of tongue. I can't do that. Yeah, I'm going to be with you. Well, who should I tell them that sent me? You tell them I am that I am. Why? Because I'm going to accomplish this, Moses. You don't have to accomplish this. I'm going to do this. All I need you to do is be the mouthpiece, right? Well, if you can't do that, I'll even send your brother, right, Aaron, to go with you. So that's what he did for me. He gave me my brother to come here and help me do what I needed to do, right? So as we look at this, the question is, how do we accomplish this in our fallen state? Moses was just a man. He was a murderer who had escaped Egypt, was living out in the desert. He comes to God, and God says, Moses, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. I'm fixing to give you the Spirit. You're going to be able to go. You have my staff. You're going to be able to go and accomplish this, right? And so in this qualifying of the Holy Spirit, we begin to understand that I have power that's not my own. If look at John chapter 14, if you would. John chapter 14 and verse 26, we see Christ speaking, and he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now you need to be working toward this, but when you need something, when someone needs to be told something, and you don't know what to say, there's going to be the Spirit prompt your mind and bring up in your heart the kindness that you've been seeking, and you're going to be able to comfort that person in a way that they need to be comforted because the Spirit is leading. You've been in faithfulness, walking forward and learning, and he'll bring that to your remembrance. That's what it says. So I've got this. That's what he's saying. I've got this. If you'll be faithful, I will be with you. I will make sure this is. Now, I'm not asked, and you're not asked, to be anybody's all in all. That's not what God is asking of us. He gives you gifts for specific things. And when there's a need arise, he's not going to call on you to fulfill a need that he's not qualified you for. All he's going to do is say, Tim, I need you to do this for that. There's only one who's all in all. That's Christ. He's everything. He only asked me to do this for that. And they're small. They're small. But I have to do them faithfully. And in doing those, performing those gifts that I have faithfully, they increase. I get better at it. My faith grows. My ability grows. And don't get me wrong. These are not talents. You have talents of the flesh. That's different from the gifts of the Spirit. Those are different. We'll talk a little bit about that a little bit later. So I'm only asked to supply this one thing to this one area. When we embrace our need to serve and begin to be sensitive to our gift, Jesus comes and says, hey, I need you to serve in this area. And what's the first thing we say? Same thing Moses said. Well, I can't teach. I can't do that. I can't administrate. I can't. No, you're absolutely right. You can't do that. But what we see, look at 1 Corinthians 12:5. I want you to see a verse here. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. You're not going to be able to administrate the gifts that's given to you, but we're all under the same Lord. He's going to be the one to bring that for your ability and opportunity to do. And then you look on down, verse 6, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. You see, pastors especially, this is especially bad for pastors. We go to a church and we think, man, if this church fails, it's because of me. But if this church does well, it's because of me. No. Neither one of those are true. Because here we see, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. All he asks me to do is the same thing he asks you to do, is to use my gifts diligently and purposefully and be faithful. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. If you see a pastor say, I'm doing good. Hold on a minute, Pastor. Let's get this right. God is blessing us despite me. Okay? And that's much the way things go these days. So we embrace the fact that success or failure here in verse 6 is, it's not on me. But the one whom God blesses is like the man who said, you tell me who he is, here am I, send me. Who was that? Isaiah the prophet. He didn't know what God was going to do with him. He was just ready to be used. Here am I, send me wherever you want me to do. Whatever you need me to go, wherever, all that. I'm here. And I'll be here the next day and 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 the next day till I'm in heaven. And if you're that faithful, God will use you and he will bring the success that he wants for the situation because of the spiritual truth that resides in your heart. Now, what do we do with these gifts? The purpose of spiritual gifts is to enable the child of God to minister in the Spirit rather than in the flesh. You know what's wrong with a lot of churches these days? Churches have become a business. We run them as though they are a corporate business. We must have the right qualifications for you to fulfill the right positions. We must have all this set up in a particular way, and we follow this because this is the way business works best. I don't go for that. Christ is the head of this church, and I cannot run this church the way I run my business. If people in my business will not do their job, I fire them. And if I fire them, they don't get paid anymore. And I go find somebody who will do the job. Okay? That's the way I run my business. I can't do that in the church. I want to sometimes. You want to sometimes. But the church is based in love. The The church is built in long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, against which there is no law, it says in Galatians. So we have to be forgiving and patient and kind. And as we bring these people into a service, we have to help them succeed. That's what God has done for me and you. He didn't expect us to be perfect at salvation. He didn't expect us to be perfect the first time we are a teacher in the classroom. He doesn't expect that. But he knows that. You know why he knows that? Because he said, love covers a multitude of sins. When I fail, you love me anyway. I know that because I fail a lot. Y'all think I did these announcements really good this morning, didn't you? Well, that's not normal. So you begin to see, we cannot run the church as a business. Because you know what it is? It's run in the flesh. We have to run the church in the spirit. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 7 says this. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then, they are in the flesh, that are in the flesh, cannot please God. If you have great talent, and you go out into the business world and you become extremely successful, that success will not travel over to the church because that is a fleshly way of running things. Okay? And the flesh is enmity with God. It cannot please Him. But here it says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. We don't want dead people running the church. They're of the flesh. We need spirit being a part of the spiritual body. Do you see how important these spiritual gifts are? You understand how important it is to be a child of God, to fill the positions of service to the Lord? Is it always that way? Are there people in leadership in churches who are not spiritual? Yes or no? You better believe it. The God says in the Bible, they're tares. Tares among the wheat. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. And they're here for division of the devil who seeks to attack, who seeks to separate, who seeks to make us mad at one another so we don't, in fellowship together, further the gospel through the Great Commission. These gifts given by God are for the building of the church, which glorifies God. It's for the perfecting of our gifts, bringing blessings that we cannot understand. You don't know what your little gift is going to do. One of the illustrations that I read I like, he said it's like when I was a kid, I got a butterfly net. Anybody ever get a butterfly net when you was a kid? We got one, but I don't ever remember catching any butterflies myself. We used to shoot them with the BB gun, I think, but we didn't ever try to catch them. But he said, look, when I would go try to catch butterflies, there wasn't a butterfly in sight. I'd be the same way. Wasn't a butterfly in sight. But when we would have to go with my grandmother and hoe the fence row, and you're sweating and you're carrying on, along comes the butterfly and lights on you, Well, he needs a drink, right? Whatever reason. You know what? That's kind of the way we are in our service to the Lord. I don't want to do this. Oh, okay. This is what he asked me to do. I'm going to do it. I do it. I'm trying to catch a butterfly. I'm working to catch a butterfly. Well, forget it. When I just begin to work, along comes the butterfly and lights on me. You know what the butterfly is? The butterfly is results. Results just come when you're faithful. It's not like you're there to get that. You're there to please the Lord, to do His will. And out of that, He sends the result, the butterfly. Okay? And I thought that was a good illustration. You're not worried about Him when you're over here doing what the Lord asks you to do, but the results begin to just show up. And you build and you build and you build. Look at 1 Corinthians 3. Beginning in verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. What does God expect from me and you and all the other people who are true Christians serving Him and loving Him all over the world, some dying for Him? What does He expect from them? Does He expect from them to gain success? Do you think He's holding them to any standard? The only standard is faithfulness. There was a man who preached 120 years, and he only saved his own family. I wouldn't call that success. I think about the 100th year, I might have gave up. You understand what we're saying? But was it important that he stayed faithful? I can't believe we would believe there's anything more important than Noah stayed faithful and just did what the Lord asked him to do. And then the Lord gave the increase of saving known mankind. What's it? Verse 7. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own what? Labor. Not success. Not results. Not what happened in the end. According to your labor. Did you try? Did you hang in there? Did you do the best you could for the Lord with what the Lord gave you? That's all He asked. And that's what He's talking about right here in verse 8. We understand these gifts are for the common good of our fellow believers in Christ. That's why God gives these gifts. If I gave you a gift, it was really important. But this gift was only useful if you gave it away. And you decided the best thing to do was to take this gift and hide it. Not so that it would benefit anyone, but just so I wouldn't make a mistake and hurt anybody. I wouldn't lose it. How would you think I would feel about that? How would you feel if you gave a gift that way? Do you remember the parable of the talents? What did he do to the one who ended up with one that was hid in the ground? He took it from the one who only had one because he wasn't being faithful with it. And he gave it to the one who had ten. Because he was being faithful and serving and using it for the master. That's where we are with spiritual gifts. Do you know what your spiritual gift is? Some of us are like, I don't really know. I'm talented in this. Well, you may be talented, but is that the spiritual aspect of where God is asking you to serve? So, it's a little bit harder to discern some of these things sometimes. And we're going to be getting into those things. Here's the truth. Until you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can only serve in the flesh. Please don't do that. If you don't know Jesus Christ, and you know in full assurance that you are a child of the living God, please don't aspire to serve Him, because it's not going to turn out well. You're serving Him in the flesh, and that's failure before you ever start. But if you are a child of God, if you have the Spirit that dwells within you, you have been given a gift. For your best interest, use that faithfully for the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will reward you and bless you, and He'll bring the success that He desires from that service. I encourage you in that way. If you don't know Christ as your Savior this morning, that's the starting point. The Spirit of God will come. He'll give you what you need. He'll make it available. You'll be amazed. It is a miraculous thing. The Lord Jesus Christ is in control. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. We're going to have a song of invitation. Think about where your area of service is. And I tell you, we're going to be going here at the end of last year, right? Looking at service. What could we do as a body if we have different things available, right? But it requires us to go through the process to know who we are, to study, to know the Word, and then to be faithful in what God has given us. And that's what we want to bring you to. We want to help you get there in your walk through life. You may not be at this church the rest of your life. That's not what God calls you to do. He calls you to be faithful wherever you're planted. The next place you go, you'll be prepared to be better there. Because it's not for the church. Who are you prepared to be a servant to? The Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where it all ends up. Would you stand as we sing?
Heavenly Highway Hymnal number 1.